Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 51st Psalm, Psalm 51. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 623. We'll be reading the first 13 verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Okay, shall we stand, please, as is our custom at First Baptist Church, to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And let's read the 13th together also. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Father, we thank you for this morning's service. We thank you for this church. It's meant so much to so many, not only here in this place right now, but so many others scattered around the world, in fact. And how we pray that you'd bless this service. Our lifetimes have been made up of such services as this. We live to be here. And we thank you for the privilege. We pray that you'd help us now to listen. We'll not get anything out of the service unless we yield to thee, O Holy Spirit, that we might listen and know the truth that thou hast to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother James Woosley here this morning. James, are you here? I'll get to that after a while. But I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, what forgiveness does not do. I hope you listen to me. I do not think I'll be real Jack Hiles this morning, but I want to talk to you and I want to help you on what forgiveness does not do. I had this read a while ago, the 51st Psalm, and it's a wonderful thing how David said, he said, hide thy face from my sins. And God did that. And blot out my iniquities. And God did that. And create a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. Read the Psalms after David said these words, after forgiveness came. You'll find that God did that. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And God did that. So I want you to notice one little line there. He said, my sin is ever before me. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of what forgiveness does not do. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless me as I speak today. And I pray that you'd help our people to listen. I pray that tragedy should be avoided. And when tragedy has already happened, may salvage be done. Bless the service and this simple preacher as he brings this wonderful truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. I talk a lot, turn me up just a tad, please. I talk a lot about God being a second chance God. And aren't you glad he is a second chance God? Last Sunday night, I spoke on the subject, I will raise up the ruins. And I reminded you how that God will raise up the ruins of a life that's been ruined, and I gave illustrations about it. We talk an awful lot about 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I have a sermon I preached once on God is a recycling God. God recycles things that have been wasted for a while, if you please. However, sometimes I'm afraid we flippantly come in and out of serving God without realizing that when you are out of the will of God or when you're wasting your life, there are serious consequences. Now, of course, forgiveness. Of course, God washes you whiter than snow. But you don't quite end up at the same place when you waste part of your life as you do if you don't waste a part of your life. Now, first today, I want to discuss a well-worn path, and rehearse what forgiveness does. And this is just by way of brief introduction, just to make us rejoice in our standing before God. Of course, number one, forgiveness removes eternal punishment from us. John 5:24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment. I'll never stand before God for my sins. Jesus did that for me 2,000 years ago. And so it removes eternal punishment from me. Forgiveness does that. And of course, by way of review, forgiveness not only does that, but one of my favorite statements I make is this. Forgiveness removes my sins from God's record. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Now, forgiveness means that your sins have been removed from God's record, meaning that you'll not have to face eternal punishment for your sins. But not only that, forgiveness not only removes eternal punishment for sin, removes sins from God's record, but it prevents sins from being recorded on God's record. You see, my sins have been recorded on the record of Jesus Christ, and so God refutes. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. If you looked at my record this morning on earth, it would be blotted. But you look at my record in heaven, there would not be one single mark against my record because my sins have been blotted out and God refuses to impute or record against my record in heaven any of my sins. But that isn't all. Not only does, and we're just walking a little introduction here for a moment, not only does God remove eternal punishment from my sin when he forgives, he removes sins from God's record, he prevents sins from being placed in God's record, but God records against my record. See, God doesn't leave my record blank. God doesn't wipe it clear and leave it there. God wipes it clear and then puts something else in its place. God places on my record the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I go soul winning, this is something I always do. I want this mic again, PA man. Do I have a PA man up there? I want this mic again right here, please, for a moment. And I want to show you something. Let's see. Brother Craig, you were here this morning. Stand right up here, would you please? And let me show you exactly what I'm trying to say this morning. I do this in soul winning. Every time I win a soul to Christ, this is the little thing I go through. Okay, Brother Bush, I'm going to write your name up here. Craig Gore. Oh, Bush, I'm sorry. Anybody home this morning? All right. I'm going to write Craig Bush, future President of the United States of America. Could be an improvement over the other guy running against him, but Craig Bush. Now, I'm going to list some of your sins here. He's shaking all of a sudden. Did you ever tell something that wasn't true, maybe somewhere, sometime? Or you're a liar? all that. Did you ever take anything, maybe as a child or as assistant pastor of a church, that wasn't yours? Did you ever take anything from your sister or brother or anything that wasn't yours? Yes, sir. You're a thief. You're really getting worried now. We're getting down. Did you ever say a bad word? All right. He's a liar. All right. I wish I hadn't gotten a sanctified charismatic up here is what I wish I hadn't done. All right. Now, Brother Craig, I'm going to let all of these marks here represent the things that we don't want to tell. And your wife comes up here on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning before 8 o'clock, she tells me something rotten about you, and that's what's represented right here. All right, Brother Bush, that's your record right there. Now, there's a penalty on that record. The wages of sin is death, and that includes the second death, which is hell. So I'll simply say that you owe a debt, and that is hell. That's pretty bad. That's your, and by the way, apart from Jesus Christ, that's your record too. Anybody here this morning that's not a child of God, that's your record right there. Now, Brother Bush, let's write Jesus' name down right here. You're so self-righteous about yourself, you probably can't think of a good thing about Jesus, but tell me something good about Jesus. What? Perfect. All right. He's perfect. That's a pretty good start. And what else is good about Jesus? Oh, brother. Love, all right. If we're here till 2 o'clock, it's his fault and not mine. All right. Love, what else?
Grace,
all right. Righteousness, okay. Oh, that's far perfect. All right. We'll let these represent all the other good qualities, like you would not know any of them, but like long-suffering and patience and gentleness and mercy and kindness and goodness and forbearance and all those things that you've not yet learned. Now then, I say to my person who I'm witnessing, I say, Mr. Bush, this is your record right here. Now, I've got some good news for you. Jesus Christ has paid your debt for you. You see, he came to earth as a virgin, and he lived a perfect life, a virgin born, and lived a perfect life. He never sinned. If he had a sin, he would have had to go to hell and pay for his own sins. But he did not sin. But on the cross, he did pay the penalty for your sin. And you've got to realize that you're a sinner. You can't be saved unless you understand that you're a sinner and that your sins have been recorded in God's record, and the penalty on that sin is hell. But Jesus has paid that price. Now, Mr. Bush, let me show you. Step right over here, and let me show you here. Here is your record right here. And all these sins. Now, if you will today realize that you're a sinner, realize that sinners are lost and on their way to hell, and if you will rely upon Jesus Christ the way he did to save you, then he will take your record like that out of his book and throw it away behind his back. And your record, he'll take your name and place it up here, and Craig Bush, which perfect and love and grace and all of that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All right. For me. Now, all that to say, that's what forgiveness does. I said a while ago, and I'll take this microphone back now. I said a while ago that forgiveness removes eternal punishment. Don't leave me now. Forgiveness removes eternal punishment for our sins. Two, it removes our sins from God's record. Three, it prevents our sins from being recorded against us. Four, it places the right justice of Christ on our record. Five, it justifies you. So, in other words, you trusted Christ a while ago. I hope now that you're saved, you can think of more good things about Jesus. But you trusted Christ a while ago. God justified you. That means you're right now in the sight of God. It's just if you'd never sinned at all. God pronounces you free of sin. I don't mean you don't sin anymore, but God's eternal record has nothing negative against you, and you are justified. What does forgiveness do? It not only justifies, but it separates your sins from you. Let me show you again. Brother Bush, stand right here and face that way. And Brother John, stand right here and face this way. Now then, better still face each other right now. And this is Brother Bush, and this represents all of Brother Bush's sins. I know of no one that incorporates more sins than Johnny Colson does. Now, when you got saved a while ago, you turned around and trusted Christ, and Brother John, you represent his sins. So just start walking, Brother John. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Brother, down this way, Brother John. Keep on going. Come on, I'm trying to get you home early. All right, that's good enough. You see, every day that you live, your sins get farther away from you. Your sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Of course, you don't think you have any, but you do. Thank you, Brother John. You can come back up here. And not only that means that your sins are buried in the deepest sea. I love to tell this. I've told it many times here. Mrs. Howes and I were in Hawaii, and we took submarine. Yeah, so it's a helicopter. That's the wrong direction. Took a submarine trip, and all of a sudden it stopped on the bottom of the ocean. I thought, well, I asked the guy, we out of gas? And he said, no. I said, why did we stop here? He said, this is the deepest part of the sea. And I had a hallelujah fit backwards, because I said, that's where my sins are, right there, in the deepest part of the sea. I saw there a big mountain down there under the sea, and I said, what in the world is that? And my guide said, that's where the Moffat's sins there. I saw a little mound about that big. That's where the Bush's sins there. And I got a magnifying glass and found my own sins also while I was there. Now, I'm trying to say, by way of introduction, I may not get through the introduction before I may preach the sermon tonight. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that forgiveness means that I have no eternal punishment for my sin. Forgiveness means that my sins have been removed from God's record. Forgiveness means that God will not place sins on my record. Forgiveness means that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed on my record. Forgiveness means that I am justified just as if I had never sinned at all. Forgiveness means that my sins are separated from me as far as the east is from the west. Forgiveness means that my sins are buried in the deepest sea. And forgiveness means that God has forgotten my sin. I love that. God has forgotten my sin. Yet, hear me. There are some things that forgiveness does not do. Lest you think you can flippantly come back to God and everything's going to be just like it was before. No, it won't be like it was before either. When you go away from God and you waste some of your life, you come back, there are some things just like they were before. Your record's just like it was before, and your standing is just like it was before, and your salvation is just like it was before, but there are some things that, well, they're not the same when you waste some of your years. Number one, it does not erase your sins on earth. God forgets your sins, but people don't. Let me illustrate. Look what David did that caused the need of the 51st Psalm. Look what David did. Bathsheba, the death of Uriah, her husband. And David comes in the 51st Psalm and cries in that great penitential psalm, repenting and coming back to God. And David cries, for his sins to be white as snow, and for his sins to be blotted out. And here's something very interesting. Follow me carefully. In spite of all that David did, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, God says that David was a man after his own heart. God had forgotten what David did. You think adultery is after God's own heart? Do you think murder is after God's own heart? God had forgotten. But wait a minute. We haven't. We haven't. Look, if you would please, at what Abraham did. Abraham goes down to Egypt outside the will of God to cause a famine in the land. There he picks up this little maid, a little gal named Hagar, brings her back home with him when he comes, and she gives birth to a child, illegitimate child by Abraham. And yet, in James chapter 2 and verse 23, God says, Abraham, a friend of God. God had forgotten what Abraham did, but we have not forgotten what Abraham did. You take, for example, look at what Noah did. Noah was naked. in his tent, and his drunken and naked, and his son came and looked upon his nakedness, and which is, by the way, these modern psychologists, I say to you, that children supposed to see their parents' nakedness, they're as wicked as the devil that caused them to say that. But looked on his father's nakedness, and the curse was placed upon Canaan, the son of Ham, and on it goes. But wait a minute now. God in over in 2 Peter 2:5, he says Noah, a preacher of righteousness. God had forgotten what happened back yonder in the tent of Noah, but we haven't. You take, for example, look what Moses did. Moses committed a sin, a sin so big that God, after all these 80 years, 40 years of preparation, 40 years of leading these 2 or 3 million Jews across the wilderness to the door of the promised land, God said to Moses, you can't enter the promised land. That's how big that sin was. And yet, you know what? In the next verse or two, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He didn't say, Moses, my dirty sinner, is dead. Moses, my servant. God had already forgotten what Moses had done, but man has not forgotten what Moses had done. Your sins are erased from God's record, but not the company's. Your sins are erased from God's record, but not the school's. Your sins are erased from God's record, but not the police department's record. Your sins are erased from God's record, but not your credit rating. Your sins are erased from God's record, but not opinion or public opinion's record. Your sin is erased from God's record, but not your resume. Your sin is erased from God's record, but not your conscience. Record. Your sin is erased from God's record, but not your reputation. Now listen carefully to me. Before you think you can go out here and live it up for a while, come back down to the altar, everything's going to be just like it was, I've got news for you. In heaven, judicially, everything will be just like it was, but your opportunity won't be the same. And you will, if you please, you will not have your sins erased on earth. Number two. What else does forgiveness not do? It does not erase your sins on earth. Number two, it does not bring back the wasted years. I see Jacob praying at Jabbok. He's right with God. His name is changed to Israel, which means he's the Prince of God. And the entire nation of Israel is named after him. But that doesn't bring back those 20 years when he was outside the will of God. It does not bring back the wasted years. Look at Naomi. Down to Moab for 10 years. She came back. She was forgiven. She was right with God again. But down in simple truth is, it did not bring back those 10 years. I want to stop and have a spell here for a minute. I want to thank God today for Coastal Maddie Hiles. I want to thank God today for Proctor Boyd, one of my Sunday school teachers. I want to thank God for people like Dr. Rutherford, people like Mrs. Howard, people like Brother Sizemore, people like Sam Montgomery, people like Jesse Cobb, who were influential when I was a young man, which means by the time I was 21 years of age, I was pastoring a New Testament Baptist church. I was talking to one of our young men yesterday. I'm so proud of him. He grew up in this church. He drifted away from God, but he came back to God. And now for years he's been serving God. He's a student in Howells Anderson College. I'm very proud of him. He's 30 years old now. He was trying to decide what to do about his future. He has 2 more years in college nearly. And I said to him, I'm proud of you, but I want you to know, when I was 32 years of age, I was pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. When I was 32 years of age, I'd already preached over 10,000 sermons at 32. I want to say today, ladies and gentlemen, you young people, you go out and sow your wild oats, and you come back when you're 25 or 30 or 35 years old and get right with God, and God will wipe every sin off your record, but you wasted the best years of your life. Not only will though forgiveness wipes your sins off of God's record And though your sin means that he will not record, though your forgiveness means he will not record your sins against you, and though your forgiveness means that you're justified in the sight of God and your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west and buried in the deepest sea, though that be true, I said, number one, it does not erase your sins on earth. Number two, it does not bring back the wasted years. Mike, come up here. One of our First Baptist Church boys, come up here. One of you guys, any of you guys, First Baptist Church boys. Justin, come up here. I hate to choose a Moffitt, but... You guys can stand, you stand over here. You see this morning in front of you my job. This young man, been in this church all of his life. A black shirt. Is anybody else here I could use as illustration? Now, all of his life. Now, I know this guy. He and I have a lot of fun together. He comes to my office every Saturday morning with the young men, and we have a big conference table, and he just dives on that table face down and scoots across that table over to, almost falls in my lap. The neighbor that Roy did the same thing, had a buckle on there and scratched my table all the way across it. Next Sunday, we're honoring Brother Moffitt as a former assistant pastor of our church. But look, here are my two jobs. My job is to say to this young man, don't do it. Don't go into sin. The devil's a dirty liar. He's a crook. The devil will wreck your life. Don't do it. And I'm proud of this young man because he's listened to what I have said. I'm just as proud of this young man right here. He likewise grew up in this church. He likewise sat in these pews. He likewise... was set in our Sunday school classes, in our Sunday school departments. He likewise is a product of our church, but he went away from God and was outside the will of God, and he won't mind me saying it. He spent some time in jail because of it, and yet I'm so proud of this fellow. I'm very proud of him. Now, here's my job. My job. Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it! The devil's a liar! But if you've already done it, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But I want to say this, between the age he is, how old are you now, son?
27.
How old are you? 17. Between that age and this age, there's a wasted year or two there, a few wasted years. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not yet tasted the dregs of sin, if you've not yet succumbed to Satan's temptations and wiles, let me say to you, I want for you to be like this fellow right here. And God forbid that it'll ever be anything different. I don't think it will. But that's what I want for you. On the other hand, if you have made mistakes and if you drifted away from God, let me tell you that the God that prevents him from sin can bring you back from sin. And by the way, here's the good thing about it. You know, there are no more sins recorded in heaven against your record than yours. I mean, your record is as spotless as his. And much more spotless than his dad's. But your record's as spotless as his. And so I say this morning, that's my job. That's what I've been doing for 41 years here. Young people, don't listen to the devil. I want you to walk the altar, never having taken a drink. I want you to walk the altar pure, without your lips ever curling around a cigarette. I want you to walk the altar pure, without ever singing one stanza or one line of the stinking, dirty rock music. I want you to live a clean, decent life. But if you don't, I still love you, and I'm proud of you. Thank you, fellas, very much. Give my hand. That's what First Baptist Church is all about. That's what our youth program is all about. That's what our Hammond Baptist schools are all about. Not only does forgiveness not erase your sins on earth, not only does not sin forgiveness not bring back the wasted years, but sin does not give you the opportunities you could have had. Yes, God is the God of the second chance, but somebody ought to remind us, he is also the God of the first chance. Yes, God is a salvaging God, but somebody ought to remind us that God is a preventing God.
Sure, God uses a marred vessel, but somebody ought to remind you, he uses more an unmarred vessel. Somebody ought to remind us, yes, God uses a bent and broken reed. He also uses a straight reed that's never been broken. Yes, God can pick up the fallen, but Jude tells us that he is also able to prevent you or keep you from falling. Yes, he's a God of restoration. Yes, he's also a God of prevention. But the truth is, your first chance is your best chance. Listen to me. The damage has been done. It'll not be undone. The marks of sin are still there after forgiveness. Naomi still had the marks of sin on her face when she got back to Bethlehem. Forgiven? Yes. Sin blotted out? Yes. Record perfect in heaven? Absolutely. But they said, is this Naomi? 10 years. I've said it so often. In case you young ladies would like to be beautiful, the best beauty aid in this world does not come from Helen Curtis or Avon calling. The best beauty aid in this world comes from a clean, decent, pure, virtuous, and righteous life. The body damage is still there. David's forgiven, but Bathsheba is still pregnant. Noah's forgiven, but his grandson is still cursed. David's baby is still dead. God did wipe his sins away. God did wash him white as snow. His record is clear in heaven, but the baby is still dead. Abraham still has an illegitimate son. Moses still missed entering the promised land. Mary Magdalene still lives with her memory. Uriah is still dead. David's forgiven. Bathsheba's still pregnant. Illegitimate baby is still born. That baby is still dead. Uriah is still dead. The husband of Bathsheba is still dead. I'm trying to say, you come down the altar and kneel here at the altar and seem to walk back to your seat and say, well, everything's just like it used to be. Let me tell you, when you follow the devil, then everything will never be like it used to be. There it will be, but down here it will not be. Malan and Chilion are still dead. Elimelech is still dead. Yes, God can still use you. He'll make another perfect will for you, but it will never be as good as the first. Let me make a statement here. God's second best is better than Satan's best. But God's best is better than God's second best. God will make another perfect will, and God will use you. So I say this again, my job is twofold. My job is trying to lead you to the most usefulness and the greatest joy you can have in your life. This morning as I was leaving my desk, I looked at that little list of my preacher boys on the wall there, over 1,000 names on the wall there, my preacher boys. And I started going down the list a little bit for a few seconds there. I came to the list of some of our boys, John Beppersen, Todd Pointer, my boys, David Biter, and other pastors who grew up here in the church. And I said, thank God for people that listen to us. Public school students, you listen to me. Don't you listen to that godless teacher that tells you that book is not true. Don't you listen to that godless teacher that tells you you dress like the heathen world and sing like the heathen world. Let me suggest while you're young, let God have your life and let God use you now. And don't waste the years. Ask those men sitting up there, the mission men. Every mission man we have here, some of the finest men we have. Every mission man we have here, his record is just like Ed Lupinus. Well, better. Every mission man we have, as far as heaven's record's concerned, his sins are blotted out.
No sins recorded against his record. He's justified just if he'd never sinned. His sins are separated from him as far as the east is from the west. They're buried, as it were, in the deepest sea. But ask him.
Young people, I see some of our First Baptist kids here. Most of you, I've been the only preacher you've ever had. I hate to grow older because I realize the day is going to come before too many years when I cannot rear your children with you anymore. But my pride and joy is our young people. I don't mean just the ones who are young now, but those who are now 25 and 30 and 40 and 45 years of age who once were our young people. Thank you for listening.
But if you wasted your years, there's a Heavenly Father who's still at the front door as the father of the prodigal was, waiting for the prodigal to come home. I have a sermon I used to preach some. Let's hear it for the other brother. Let's hear it for the brother that stayed home.
Let's hear it for the brother that said truthfully, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time that commandment. Let's hear it for him. And our job is to try to talk our young people into doing what he did, hard work and diligence and a dedicated life and staying home with the will of God. But we also open the doors wide open and say to the prodigal, come on home, I've got the fatted calf killed. I've got a ring for your finger, shoes for your feet, call the neighbors.
But somebody ought to have a second party and have a party thanking God for the kid that never left. Yesterday morning, I was having appointments. As I said a while ago, one of our young men came in our office, my office, to counsel. I'm so proud of him. He's 30 years old. All the time I was talking to him, I had a hard time not weeping. Because I remember his early days. And I remember that Sunday night when he walked down the aisle right there. Came back to God. I'm so proud of him. Also yesterday morning, a college young man came to my office who grew up in our church. I counseled with him. He's 21 years of age, farther along than the fellow was who's 30. He's going to graduate from college 1 year before the fellow was who was 30. He's got all those years, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, ahead of him. And so may I say this morning, for those of you who've never tasted the dregs of sin, why don't you take Mike Ramsey's word for it?
Check and see who's been there.
And see how it turned out. And I beg with you this morning, as on bended knee, I beg you, don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the modern Hollywood crowd. You can get forgiveness. Become justified.
Have your sins blotted out. No sin recorded. Sin separated as far from the east as from the west. Buried in the deepest sea. But you will never
recapture those wasted years. And you'll never wear it, take off the marks of sin. And though in heaven it's all as clear on God's record, it's not clear on man's record. As that young man walked out yesterday morning, 21 years of age, on his way to serving God, I'm sure he's never tasted liquor. I'm sure he's never smoked a cigarette. I'm sure he's never rustled an unholy skirt. As he walked out, I was so proud of him. But no more proud than I was of the fella of the wasted years. I can't do a single thing about your wasted years, but I tell you what I can do. I can help you prevent future wasted years. And so this morning, rejoice in the fact that God forgives. Rejoice in the fact that God justifies. Rejoice in the fact that God will not record your sin or impute your sin on your record. But don't you forget, forgiveness doesn't do everything. There are some things that forgiveness does not do. And so this morning I call upon young people who have not yet tasted the dregs of sin, the awful bitter taste, the aftertaste of sin. I call upon you to listen to us Be like the prodigal son's brother that stayed home. And those of you that have drifted away from God, the arms of God are still open to you. Oh, how many times have you heard me quote, "Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain." The lady sitting here looking at me right now. Ms. Henson, is that you over there? Stand up, would you please? Remain standing for a moment. Her husband lies in a hospital rehabilitation center in Atlanta, Georgia. All he can move is just, he can speak, but all he can move a little bit is his fingers. Will he ever walk again? Who knows? Will he live his life in a wheelchair? Who knows? And my heart goes out to her and my heart goes out to him. But I'd rather be your husband today 10,000 times than a person his age who's wasted his life and not lived it for God. Thank you, Mrs. Henson. God bless you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, they're an old preacher. Through what I've done so often, let me just find the trail here and see where sin leads to and see what happens if you give your life to sin. And let me tell you what I see. Oh, I see broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, wrecked dreams, hopes dashed, plans gone awry. Young people, listen to me. It's not any good. But let me check over here with living a life for God and see how it turns out. Let me check and see what this road does. Young people, let's see. Oh my, I see joy and happiness and contentment and a life used for God. Let me say again, don't you listen to him. You listen to those of us who've been down the road and seen others go down the road. And let God have your life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, all the evil days come not. And thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But if it's too late, if you've gone out that down that road and out that door, come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Would you bow your heads, please?